lot of the big online guys have said they're opening stores. Amazon's investing in stores. Google's investing in stores. Starbucks figured it out, you know, being a gathering place for, right, meet me at Starbucks. And, you know, and I've told the teams, I'll know we've done a really, really great job if the next generation of Gen Z says, meet me at Apple. Did you see what's going on at Apple today?
Hello, and welcome to Coolcast, the best 30 plus minute app conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, his youthful philandering and love of velvet suits were the inspiration for Mike Myers' Austin Powers character, Leander Caney.
Yeah, baby.
That sounded actually exactly like him, actually.
Yeah, I know. I got the British accent nailed.
That you do. Also joining us, you'll often find him high on a hill, exploring the Arizona nature in his signature short jeans and short cropped half shirt. Buster Caney is here.
Oh, yo, what up?
What's up, man?
Not much, just hanging with the homies.
You must have some odd tan lines. Like when you actually go swimming and you have to like put on your Speedo, like you have like the midriff tan line, right? From the half shirt.
Yeah, and then you got the backpack tan line for when I, you know, go shirtless with the backpack. And that one's the awkward one.
You're out alone in the desert. You can do whatever you want. It's just you and the coyotes.
Yeah.
And the coyotes are like, damn. Okay, we're going off the rails. It's only 2 minutes in. Let's see here. We got so much Apple news to talk about this week. Let me just go ahead and run through all this stuff right now. We're going to talk about the iPhone 8 and its late arrival. Oh, yes, you heard me. There are rumors that we're not going to see it anywhere close to when we think we're actually going to see it. Final Cut Pro 10 hits a massive milestone. I'll tell you just how much money Apple is making off this software. It's really unbelievable. We're going to tell you Apple's big plans to make the Apple stores more magical. You know, Angela Ahrens was hired. She's the VP or the VP of retail about 3.5 years ago. And she was hired to revamp the Apple store. And she recently unveiled her vision for the Apple stores. And I want to get your guys' take on this because some parts of her vision sound really cool and some parts of her vision sound totally preposterous and absurd.
Oh, yeah.
I think you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. We're going to tell you about Google's new plans for a flying car. And if you stay tuned to the end, which I recommend that you do, we're going to do an all-new under review. We'll talk about the gadgets and gizmos that we're currently reviewing, what we like, what we don't. Before we do the news, let me go ahead and say thank you to Blue Apron for supporting this episode. For less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron delivers delicious, high-quality food courtesy of over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the U.S. right to your door, supporting a more sustainable food system and setting the highest standards for ingredients. Plus, with Blue Apron's freshness guarantee, you can be sure that every ingredient in your delivery will arrive ready to cook or they'll make it right. I have been using Blue Apron for several months now, and every single meal that I have had has been delicious. We had one last week. I think it was like fish tacos, cod tacos. I don't even like fish tacos.
What?
In my opinion, in the hierarchy of tacos, they are at the very bottom.
Are you joking?
I'm dead serious.
You got your taco priorities wrong.
Right, exactly.
Dude, no.
They should be at the top.
I'm a carne asada man myself. No judgment. If you want to do those,
fine,
those super wimpy
tacos,
cod tacos.
Man.
In any case, these fish tacos were so divine that we finished the entire meal, and I was stuffed. I had to sit there and space out on my couch for like 45 minutes after we were done. They were really good. So that's been my experience with all of Blue Apron's meals. You can look forward to these meals. They are upcoming spinach and fresh mozzarella pizza with olives, bell peppers, and ricotta salata. Sweet and sour salmon with bok choy, carrot, ginger fried rice. Parmesan crusted chicken with creamy fettuccine, roasted broccoli, baby broccoli, and fontina paninis with hard-boiled egg and arugula salad. Why am I pronouncing all this stuff so strangely?
Salmon.
And a panini. I like to dress up these words, make them a little
make
bit more
fancy.
Elegant.
Right.
That's right. That's right. And you can get your first 3 meals free. This is why I recommend everyone try it. You have nothing to lose. You can get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/cultcast. That's blue apron.com/cultcast. You'll love how good it feels, how it tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. blueapron.com/cultcast. Okay. Let's talk about this this late iPhone delivery, Buster.
Late iPhones?
Dude, I should have known these things were going to be delayed. Anytime Apple tries to pack in the hottest new tech, there's so much that can go wrong.
And well, according even to with...
What?
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, dude.
Well, it's not that surprising. Yeah, like you're saying.
Lander's shocked. He's speechless.
I was like, what? That was it for that interruption?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, too. I was waiting for you to go on some tangent.
I was waiting for my mind. Mine's been blown. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, like, the 7 Plus, that was delayed, too. Jet black, like, even those little things, like, delay the iPhone. So if they're going to go, like, full bore on it, yeah, it's kind of expected that it'll probably be delayed.
I'm with you, dude. And so is KGI analyst Ming Chi Kuo.
And this is the only reason... This is the only reason we're talking about it, is because it's Ming Chi Kuo, right?
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah, exactly. There were some other rumors this week that I was like, should we talk about these? And I looked at the sources, and I was like, there's no way I'm going to cover these people. I've never even heard of these people, and no one ever gets anything right, I swear, except for Ming Chi Kuo. And he was saying that mass production of the OLED iPhone will likely be pushed back to October or even November instead of the normal August-September timeframe because suppliers are having hard time difficulty producing several of the phone's cutting-edge custom-ordered parts. And then the moderately reliable Makoto Takahata is reporting that the iPhone will be delayed as well and that the OLED upgrade we've been looking forward to may not even be a sure thing yet. It would be a bummer of massive proportions, man, if we get an iPhone with a normal display. Leander, on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being you're going to start a Windows podcast, how disappointed would you be if we got an iPhone and it had the same display as the other iPhones?
Yeah, 5.
You're like actually 6.
Six.
I'm 6. 5.
He's going to start like a Windows 7 podcast. It's not even going to be a new Windows podcast. It's going to be old Windows technology.
Right, yeah, vintage tech. Windows.
We'll see what happens, of course. Anything could change. Anything could change. It's Apple. You know, until they actually release a product, you never know what's actually going to happen.
Well, this is going to be a it's going to be a blockbuster, isn't it? And they've already signed up an extra, didn't they sign up LG as an extra supplier for the screens?
I read that as well, yeah.
Right, so, you know, Buster, do you know off the top of your head how many suppliers they have for the screens then, for the OLED screens?
Yeah, I have
no idea. Is
that
3 now?
It's at least Samsung, and then if they have Sharp too, right? And then Toshiba, so that would be 3.
And LG, 4.
Oh.
So...
All I know is if you plan on getting one of these on launch day, you better be ready to throw down, my friends. It's going to be wild out there. I'm going to have, like, full-on riot gear. I'm going to be strapped. I'm going to have my Negan bat with me. Because if you think you're just going to get in line and no one's going to hassle you and try and take your spot or take your brand new device, you're sadly mistaken. You need to be ready for war because that's what this is going to be. Remember when the iPhone 6 was totally bonkers? The lines everywhere were like a mile and a half long. And people were stealing them, particularly from me. It was crazy. So you got to be ready. You got to be ready to defend.
Keep
what's
your head
yours.
On a swivel and, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Be ready for a vicious cockfight. Let's talk about Final Cut Pro. This is interesting news. I know this isn't relevant to everyone, but the reason I think this is so fascinating is because Apple is like a galaxy. They're so massive that it's kind of hard to quantify how large they actually are until you take a look at one of their businesses that isn't even that popular and you realize how massive that one unpopular business is. And so here we have Final Cut Pro 10. Apple announced this week at the National Association of Broadcasters conference that it now has 2 million Final Cut Pro 10 users. It's taken 5 years for them to get to this point, and they said that the rate of adoption is actually increasing, and it took them a lot less time to get to 2 million users than it did to get to 1 million users. So check this out, though. The license to Final Cut Pro 10 is $300.
Ugh.
Right? So if you have 2 million users, that means Apple has made $600 million just on this one piece of software. Imagine a $600 million business. Imagine if you had a business that had made $600 million. You would be in the absolute upper echelon stratosphere of people with successful businesses. And this isn't even one of Apple's popular businesses. I know there's going to be some people that would be outraged to hear this, but I would say this is like a niche business.
Well,
for
yeah,
Apple.
2 million out of how many, many million Mac sales it has every quarter? What, probably like, it usually has like 5 million Mac sales per quarter. So that's a drop in the bucket of even new users.
It's like a little spritz in the bucket. I wonder how many of these people are actually new users and not people who switched from Final Cut 7. Because you remember all that controversy that happened when Apple introduced Final Cut Pro 10? It wasn't a tool that was built for professionals. I don't even know if it still is, quite honestly. I think a lot of people have abandoned Final Cut Pro 10, at least in the professional world, and have moved on to products from Adobe like Premiere because they're much more suited for pro work. And it seems like Apple gave up on pros and switched to prosumers when they released Final Cut Pro 10. I mean, it's great for making YouTube videos and probably small films as well. But if you're making like productions for movies or television shows, I wonder if you actually would be interested or able to use the software. Actually, if you listen to this show and you are in the movie biz or in the television business and you edit stuff, I would be curious to know what the standards are. Tweet me at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. Let me know what you think about Final Cut Pro 10. Because it seems like it's just a prosumer tool at this moment. Leander, did you have anything to add about this? Do you know anything about Final Cut Pro 10?
No, I don't. I don't really honestly know a lot about it. I mean, you know, I was surprised when I saw the headline because, you know, with Apple dropping Aperture, you know, it's and of course, you know, like all this discussion about, you know, moving away from pros towards prosumers that we've discussed, you know, ad infinitum on the podcast. You know, it's I was surprised they still have a pro video editing app.
It is kind of curious that they have kept it going, and they've been adding features to it all the time. I mean, they're constantly improving it, so they clearly think that it's an important program for them. And, you know, it's making them $600 million.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
How much money could it be costing them to develop this software? Like maybe like $10 or $20 million?
Yeah, it's a question of focus, isn't it? You know, and sort of priorities. You know, I mean, yeah. I haven't seen a story for a long time. Remember when you know when they first acquired, or when they, you know, after they acquired Final Cut and they updated it for the first couple of times, there were a lot of stories about all these professional Hollywood editors using it to edit movies and TV shows, mm-hmm. and I haven't seen any of that kind of stuff for a long time.
I remember seeing it was like a news segment or something. And they were sitting with an editor, and I think it was J.J. Abrams, and they were editing something. And I believe they were using Final Cut 7 to edit that movie. There were a lot of editors out there that used Final Cut 7, and you can imagine how abhorred they were when they realized that Apple was basically giving them an iMovie for for a replacement. You know, it's like, you don't need to use Final Cut 7. Here's iMovie. Look how easy it is to create cool transitions. And titles now.
Right. And make your own trailers as well.
Yeah. That's right, exactly. Look how easy it's going to be for you to make your next Star Wars trailer, J.J. Abrams. You just click a button, and iMovie Pro does it for you. And then you can instantly share it with your friends or people that want to see the movie on YouTube. It's going to be great. Okay, let's move on to the Apple Store news that came out this week. So if you missed it, I've linked to the videos in the show notes. You can take a look at some of this stuff. Angela Ahrendts did a interview with, I think it was CBS, and talked about a whole variety of topics, but the main one being Apple wants to revamp the Apple Store and freshen it up for the new age. And here's what they said about the vision going forward. Apple wants to make stores a place where you can engage with your devices and your communities. A place where you can meet your friends, like at Starbucks, said VP of Retail Angela Ahrendts. She said, Amazon's investing in stores, Google's investing in stores, Starbucks has it figured out. I'm quoting her, by the way.
Really?
You know, be a gathering place. Meet me at Starbucks. And I've told the teams, I'll know we've done a really, really great job if the next generation, Generation Z, says, meet me at Apple. Did you see what's going on at Apple today?
Yeah, that's so like misguided. I feel like the reason why people meet at Starbucks is because there's a Starbucks like around the corner, you know, and it's an open place. Whereas you have like maybe 2-3 Apple stores in your town, and they're usually far apart from each other. Like,
well, even more than that, you know what Starbucks has that
coffee
Apple doesn't have?
And
chairs.
Chill space.
Chairs, right.
Yeah, so I'm not trying to just totally clown on this news. There was some interesting aspects of this story as well. But yeah, I was listening to her say this, thinking to myself, there is no way anyone is ever going to say, meet me at the Apple store. That's just never going to happen.
Right.
Because of a variety of reasons. First of all, like you said, Buster, Starbucks has coffee. It's built around being a cool place for people to hang out. And if they want to get some food or some coffee while they're there, they can do that. And I'm guessing that Apple's not going to open a barista bar inside the Apple store. Well, maybe they are.
Was it like
I don't
the
know.
Originals?
I mean, they're revamping the interiors of all these stores.
Yeah. I thought there was like some old 90s ideas for an Apple store and they did have like food in it or something like that, wasn't there?
Yeah, the Apple Cafe, yeah.
Yeah. Which, I don't know. Like if they did that, that would be interesting.
Well, they have some tables here at the Union Square store. You know, they have a little outside area, like a little garden with some trees and some tables there. But there's nowhere to get coffee. I mean, you have to get coffee from somewhere else and bring it there to sit down. And every time I go down there, it's not that well attended. There were some guys smoking pot there. but that was about it.
By guys, do you mean you and your friends?
No, there were some intimidating-looking guys. Yeah, I can't imagine, you know, but the whole idea about, you know, doing more events at the store, though, I mean, they definitely got away from that for a few years. Because that was, you know, when they first opened the stores, there was a ton of events.
Yeah.
And there was definitely very much a focus on education. And the stores in New York, I mean, they had some pretty good concerts, you know, like they get, you know, pretty regularly. And people talking, too, you know, like they had presentations by famous photographers and filmmakers. They had Wyclef Jean was there one time when I was in New York. There was a huge crowd out there. And, you know, they seem to have got away from that for the last couple of years.
That stuff is very cool. And actually, here's the second part of the story. Apple wants to get back to doing some of that stuff. So they announced this new initiative called Today at Apple. And it's going to launch next month in May at stores everywhere. And the initiative includes free hands-on sessions that will span more than 60 sessions in creative skills, including photography. Angela Ahrens was talking about teaching Swift to kids, which I think is an excellent, excellent idea. They're going to be talking about music creation, and the lessons will range from basic how-to lessons to professional-level programs, maybe even Logic and Final Cut Pro 10. And that kind of stuff, I thought, seemed pretty cool. If you could go into an Apple store and see a concert, that would be cool. If you could go in and ask questions from someone who knows how to program in Swift and kind of get your questions answered, that would be cool. If you could learn how to use Final Cut Pro better, that would be amazing. That's actually something that I would go do.
Right, yeah, yeah. The teaching stuff is definitely killer if they can nail it.
I agree, and I think it's going to be – it's like an evolution of like the one-on-one program they had a while ago, which was only ever frequented by people 60-plus, at least in my Apple store. It's like, how do I use my email? And then you have some guy like hating his life, teaching all these people like how to use the most basic programs. But this seems like it's going to be applicable to people of all age ranges, and their focus is how do you use your Apple devices? How can we help you use your Apple devices in everyday life to do cool stuff? And that seems like it would be pretty cool. Now, if only they would go buy some chairs.
Right.
Maybe it'd be a place I'd want to meet and hang out with my friends all day and just loiter. I would imagine they wouldn't even want a bunch of these punk teens loitering in their store all day long, causing trouble, not buying anything. Angela Ahrens doesn't want that. I mean, really, there's no way she actually wants that. So I don't see them becoming the next Starbucks. But I do think it's an interesting point that she made about how Amazon is investing in stores and Google is investing in stores.
Well, that's funny when I read that because, you know, everyone else is disinvesting in stores. You know, that there's been more store closures in the last couple of years than there has been in decades. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, like they're talking about the end of the American mall.
Right.
Because all these anchor tenants are going out of business, and then with them, it drags down all these other stores as well. Hmm. So it's funny. The only people that are investing in stores are these, you know, the online retailers, the ones who are, you know, eating retail alive.
Well, that's really interesting. I Amazon has some stores here at our local mall, and I walked by one, and I was shocked. I was like, Amazon has a store now? Like, I thought that was totally antithetical to what they're trying to do. But I think it makes sense for vertically aligned companies like Apple, like Amazon, who sell products online as well as in the store, because a lot of people go into a store because they want to check out an item, but when they're ready to buy, they actually go and buy it from Amazon, right?
Exactly. That's why
so
Amazon's doing
it. So they lose that sale, and now Amazon has the full chain. It's like you go into a store, you can look at a product, and then you can buy it there or buy it at the website. Either way, they get you.
Yep.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see actually it would be amazing if Amazon launched like an actual store with other products besides books, because right now their store is just a bookstore. It's basically a Barnes & Noble.
Yeah. Well, do you see those mock-ups they have for the Robo store? You know, where you walk in and you don't have to check out; you just walk out again.
Yeah, like it was like a grocery store, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah. But there was also talk about Amazon stocking up stores with, you know, like big ticket items like washing machines and stuff like that—the stuff you wouldn't normally buy sight unseen. The stuff you really want to go check out first.
Amazon, they have a knack for coming out with all sorts of zany products. Did you guys hear about the Amazon Look?
Yeah.
It's an Amazon Echo device. It's basically a little camera that allows you to take full body pictures. Mm-hmm. So you can like and examine video. Like your outfits.
I know it was mischaracterized, I think, in some of the early news reports that came out yesterday, saying it was like a selfie camera. But it's actually an AI shopping assistant. Mm-hmm. It's clever. I mean, because they're selling a lot of clothes, especially to young people, through Amazon now, and this is a way, I think, to sort of enhance that experience by sort of recommending, or you know, giving advice on the kind of stuff, you know, that you might want to buy from Amazon, clothing wise.
When I first read this news, I kind of rolled my eyes and I was thinking, who on earth would actually want one of these? And the more I read about it, the more I thought, this is actually kind of useful. Like, how many times have you actually tried to take a picture of yourself to see what you look like in something? Like, anytime I get a pair of sunglasses, I take pictures of myself and look at the pictures to see if I look like a total chode and if I should keep them or not, right? Because when you have the sunglasses. Okay. And 9 times out of 10, they have to go back because, in fact, I do look like a complete chode. But when you have the sunglasses on, it literally changes your vision, so you can't really see what you look like in these actual things. And so I was like, this is actually kind of a cool device. Like if you were buying clothes online a lot, you can't really see what you look like easily. And so they might kind of be onto something.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll bet this is just the beginning as well. I mean, I bet, you know, you're able to show it things and say, hey, order some of this. You know, like it'll, you know, maybe barcode scanning or wine label scanning. You could show it a wine bottle. You know, what kind of wine? Where can I get this wine? Can you order me a case of this stuff? You know, it'll be like a seeing eye.
The NSA is going to love it, too, because now they can see your entire body.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of just your face.
Right. And it's in your bedroom. I mean, who wants a camera in their bedroom?
Oh.
You know. It's,
yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of one, but
you know how people like they cover up their laptop camera and that kind of stuff. Yeah. I mean, if this thing is out pointing at, you know, in your bedroom, I mean,
exactly. The hackers are in for a special treat. They can see everything that you do. Let's at least touch on this totally wacky flying car story before we move on to under review, because. Like the Amazon Look camera, when I first saw this trailer for this Google car. Well, let me back up. It's not a Google car. There is a startup backed by Google co-founder Larry Page, and he is aiming to reshape transportation by giving us flying cars. So this is like not like a normal car at all. And they released this absolutely absurd trailer that was so badly produced. It was like cringeworthy. And there was like 10 seconds of it where they were all just sitting on that dock. Did you see this, Buster?
Yeah, I wrote about it. Yeah.
They're sitting on the dock like just drinking beer, not doing anything for like 10 seconds. I'm like, who's your editor? This entire scene should have been completely cut out or chopped down to like a second max. In any case, it was totally a cheesy trailer, but the freaking car itself, it's called the Kitty Hawk Flyer, looked amazing.
Are you kidding?
I'm dead serious. Oh, I realize it looks God. look, it looks like it was built for a ninth grade science project. Yeah. I'll give you that. Like, it does not look like anything that's remotely professional or fully thought out. But as far as the functionality is concerned, imagine if you got to sit on this thing. It's basically like an upside down drone, was my takeaway from it.
Yeah.
And it has propellers on the bottom, and they're pushing the air downwards. And it has two giant dorky looking pontoons on it. I have the video in the show notes, so you guys can check it out. And then you can sit on this thing, and it will fly you across a body of water. It doesn't work on land yet, but it will fly you across a body of water. And it looked amazing, dude. Tell me you would not want to be sitting on that thing.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be on the back. I'd be driving. You'd be on the back. I'm driving.
Sure.
And we're just cruising across the lake.
Like, it looks like an alternative to, like, a jet ski cruising around the lake, or, like, those new, like, you know, those boards where they, like, You're hovering on the board and it's like shooting a jet stream down to like fly you up on it.
Yeah,
you know, those ones.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like I put it in the same realm as that, but it's not like a serious piece of transportation. I think I could put it to good use. We just take it out to the lake. You have like a tree swing wherever you want to go. Just tie some rope to the bottom of it and do some flips. Like that would be cool. But it's not like you're ever gonna fly one of those for real.
I don't know. It depends on how much they cost. They didn't announce the cost, did they? They just said, let's see here.
Well, they said it wasn't even a fully, this wasn't actually the prototype. You know, they said that the real prototype, which is going to be coming later the year, is going to look completely different.
And hopefully it won't look like it was built by a ninth grader.
Yeah, and it looks like a super fun toy, but, does it have any practical purposes? I mean, they're flying it on lakes because for safety reasons.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly, in case you get tossed off. Or... And then it has a net so you don't get chopped up by the propellers.
Right. Which, of course, I would immediately take off because you don't need protection.
And where was the car part? I mean, there's no wheels on it. It's not a car.
Right. There was that one.
Well, a flying car is not going to have wheels, Leander. Well, it's the flying. I mean, it's not going to be like the DeLorean in Back to the Future.
Leander sent me a link to this flying car that some other company announced where it was like an electric flying car where it has wheels on it and these gigantic... with this gigantic wingspan with like little motors that basically like push it up and then it flies from there. So it like does a vertical takeoff. It was totally ridiculous too.
That one was less ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought that one was a little less ridiculous than the Google one. And then,
well, because they're talking about 900 miles range on that thing.
On that electric plane?
Yeah, it's an electric plane. It's actually a vertical takeoff and landing. So what do they call it? VTOL by Lilium, a German company.
900 miles? That is amazing.
Right, but you know, there was a couple of reports I read. There was like a lot of skepticism from experts saying there's no way, you know, like because there's just not enough fuel in a battery pack to be able to do that. You got, you know, with electric planes, you've got this huge problem is that with the batteries,
I wonder
they just don't store enough energy.
Glides at all, though, if like you had.
Well, that's what they were saying. Yeah, they said that, you know, when it starts to glide, then the engine's like really kicked down into a low power mode, and they just, you know, it doesn't require as much energy. But you know, some physicists said that they have to have reinvented the laws of physics for them to be able to do this because you can't get a battery pack big enough to get 900 miles range.
See, that's
I kind of wonder if we'll ever have electric
flying cars
that are actually feasible.
Well, didn't Elon Musk say he's working on
it? Because cars have a shorter amount of range. What's that?
Well, I thought Elon Musk was working on electric planes by now. So
he probably is.
He can't be too far away. But Uber said that they're going to have flying cars by 2020 or some crap.
Yeah, we'll see about that. That's right around the corner, really.
Yeah, that's what they said in a recent thing, that they're working with some helicopter company to make like electric flying cars, kind of like the one that we saw on that demo.
Yeah, but they're going to be short hop, single occupancy.
I would be okay with that.
Giant drones.
If they just held like two people, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I don't need it to take me to New Orleans. I just want it to take me like to Tacoma, you know, like 20 minutes away. I'd be fine with that. If I could avoid Seattle traffic, which is slowly but surely becoming like the worst in the entire United States, I'd be okay with that.
Worse than LA? God.
I don't know if it's worse than LA, but it feels like it's becoming on par with it. Like I feel like every Saturday whenever I'm going somewhere, I end up sitting in traffic for an hour and just mumbling to myself, I can't believe I'm in traffic.
Yeah,
at 1 p.m. on a Saturday. Like, what are these people doing on the road? Yeah. Sometimes it's worse than, you know, like the afternoon on a Friday. It's completely out of control in Seattle.
Well, if these things do work, it won't be very long before you're sitting in a traffic jam in the sky.
Right. Just hovering.
Just hovering.
Yeah.
Just
sitting there watching hovering. Your battery deplete. You're like, oh, God.
I can't believe I'm hovering here, not even moving, on a Saturday at 1 p.m. This is unbelievable.
And you look down, the roads will be empty.
Yeah, that's right.
Should have drove.
Exactly. All righty. Well, check out this totally awesome flying car that you're... Don't listen to Buster. You're totally going to want one of these. Check out the video. And do we get a price on this, Buster?
They didn't say what the price is yet.
They just said that you can get a $2,000 discount if you give them $100
right now.
To reserve one?
Yeah, three-year membership for $100 gives you the option to buy
a three-year membership to what? Membership to what?
To Kitty Hawk, man. The company.
But what is it?
Like, you get like...
A membership for what? I mean, what are they giving you in return?
Nothing other than the opportunity to buy the car and like some free Kitty Hawk gear and stuff like that. Like, and access to a flight simulator. So that could come in handy, actually.
That's cool.
But you probably got to
get your hands on Microsoft Flight Simulator for like $50 and literally fly like every single aviation device in history. Okay, let's move on to the final segment of the show, Under Review. This is where we talk about the stuff that we are reviewing, what we like, what we don't like. I got a pretty nifty item this week, something I've been using for a little while, but I wouldn't say it's the hottest gadget in the world, but it is very practical.
Okay.
Does anyone want to go first? You guys want me just to drop it like it's hot?
Oh, drop that hotness.
All right. So this is not even like a new item, but... It is one that I have been using a lot and I have been enjoying. So I would say that I'm kind of a trackpad guy. I like the trackpad on Apple's computers. You know, honestly, it's one of the best input devices I've ever used. I love the trackpad. But every once in a while, you want to put your hands on something manly. Am I right, guys?
Oh, yes.
And so I got my hands on the Master Mouse, the MX Master Mouse by Logitech. And it is one of the most spectacular mice that I've used. It is ergonomically delightful. It fits my hand perfectly. And the buttons are laid out exactly where I want them. And they all can be programmed to do something useful. And I find that I'm using all the different buttons almost every day, except for maybe one of them. One of the cool things about this mouse is there is a roller on your thumb. So you have the roller where your index finger goes, and you also have a roller, I don't even know what to call it, a roller button or a roller, you know, like one of those things that let you scroll up and down. There's one on your thumb as well. I find that I don't use that all that often just because I feel like it's a little clumsy to use. But everything else, all the different buttons, extremely useful. The weight of the mouse is nice. The accuracy is great. I'm using it on a white desk. And a lot of mice can't do that very well. They get confused and they can't track because the desk is white. And this mouse works flawlessly. I think the mouse is like $80. I'll find out exactly what the price is and put it in the show notes. It kind of changes all the time. In fact, I just saw it on Amazon. Amazon had a sale on it recently for $54, which was a heck of a deal if you ask me. And if you're a man that likes a good mouse, if you want to feel like you're shaking your computer's hand, this is a great device to get. I've been really enjoying it. It's the Logitech MX Mouse.
Why did you go back to a mouse from a trackpad?
Yeah.
Sometimes I just want to use a mouse if I'm gaming or something. And also the mouse is really useful on both Mac and PC. So you need a mouse on a PC. Like, I've never used a trackpad on a PC that was worth a shite. Like, they're all terrible. In fact, trackpads on PCs are so bad, it really highlights the magic of Apple, because when you touch a trackpad, if you were using a MacBook Pro and you were to go into boot camp mode and boot up Windows and use your trackpad, the experience is totally different than it is when you're using Mac OS. It doesn't work nearly as well. Like, Apple has it so polished that the trackpad disappears and you are just front and center. You're computing. You're not thinking about computing. You're not frustrated by computing. You are computing.
Yeah.
And it's the way that it should be.
And why is it horrible on Windows? What happens?
I think it's the drivers, honestly.
But what happens? Because, what's the experience? Does the thing jump around everywhere?
It's not that it's jumpy, but it's just not as fine-tuned. So the cursor isn't as accurate. There's often more lag. Sometimes it's been a while since I've tried this. I should caveat this. It might work a lot better now than it did when I was using this, you know, like 1 or 2 years ago. But like the trackpad, you'd click something and the click wouldn't activate, and the window you were trying to drag doesn't drag. It's just that kind of stuff. All like just the daily interactions you have with your computer would not be as reliable or would not work as smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever used a PC trackpad, you'll know exactly what I mean. It's like your computer only registers like 90% of what you're trying to do, and 10% of the time just totally is like, nah, I don't want to do that. You're like, hey, click that over there. And he's like, nah, I don't want to do that. It's cool. I'm just going to not do anything instead. You're like, okay, that's cool. Let me just use the keyboard. All right, that's it. That's what I got. Who's going next? Buster, what do you got, dude?
I got...
Lander's being coy. He's saving the best.
Best for last.
Best for last. I got the GoPro Karma Grip. And with the Hero 5 camera that they have. It's like a...
Dang, G.
Yeah. It's a
wow.
Handheld stabilizer for the GoPro. And it's super sexy. Like, what I like about it is it feel like the build feels super... It's thick and it feels strong. Like, you would actually feel comfortable, like, taking it hiking or something like that. I've used some other stabilizers, and they were, like, really thin, and it felt like the motors would break really easy, and they did. But this one, it's, like, super awesome. And it's just super great for, you know, capturing really smooth footage. I took it on a hike with me and my dog and my buddy, and, yeah, like, everything just looked really amazing, even, like, crappy shots, because it's all smooth, so it actually looks nice, you know, something you'd want to share. But, yeah, for the most part, it's awesome.
Did it work pretty well when you were going like up and down the mountain, and you know, because I would imagine like your hike is pretty it's pretty bumpy, right? Like you're going up and down bumps, and did it smooth out all the video pretty well?
Well, like on stuff like that, I mean, you're still like stepping, so you're still kind of like moving it up and down, so you do have to kind of like walk a certain way, like where you're trying to keep the camera level, like on one spot. It's not that difficult though to get that. So for all that, yeah, it's fine as long as you're like kind of absorbing like your steps with your walk when you're doing that. And I took it on a bike ride too, and like the bike ride footage was just like absolutely amazing. Like even like the little bumps and stuff like that when I hit, like those don't register on it. It's really smooth and nice.
Cool. So it's basically like an iPhone gimbal, so to speak.
Yeah, for a GoPro.
And does that same unit work in the Karma drone?
Yeah, you just pop it off the top of the gimbal off the Karma Grip mount, like the three axis motors, like those pop off and you just plug that right onto the drone.
And how much is this thing?
It's like $300. It's super nice. I would say my only complaint is with it, you can't like manually rotate the camera like left, right, up, down. It's just straight on like one plane the entire time. So you don't have like a ton of like manual control. With that way, you have to just point it how you want it the entire time.
Man, gimbals are so expensive. Yeah. They seem so simple too, but they're all so expensive.
But it's really worth it, I think, especially if you know you're making like a lot of Instagram videos or YouTube videos and stuff like that, and you want them to just look a lot better. Like adding a stabilizer just increases the quality so much.
I know, it's night and day, huh?
Did you post any of your videos up to Instagram?
Yeah, I want to see some of these vids, dude.
Not yet, but I'm going to take it down to the Grand Canyon in like a week and a half.
What?
Yeah. So
you're going to the Grand Canyon?
Well, I'm going to have a supai in the Grand Canyon. It's that place with the waterfalls where I always go.
Man, I've never even seen the Grand Canyon. You go there like every weekend.
Yeah. Well, more like 3 or 4 times a year, but
I feel like you're always going to Grand Canyon. I'm like, hey, man, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to the Grand Canyon. I'm actually in the Grand Canyon right now.
If you live in the Grand Canyon, you should.
Yeah. Heck yeah. We should go on a rafting trip. That would be a special episode. We could all three go to the Grand Canyon on a rafting trip.
Yeah.
That's something people would watch.
Oh, yeah. It would be ridiculous.
I would love to see Leander go on a rafting. That would be amazing.
I feel like we'd get a lot of screaming.
Yeah. Screaming and crying.
Covering his face with his Kangol hat when we go over the big rapids.
Just don't fall out of the boat and you'll be fine, you know.
Right.
Yeah, if you don't want to die,
fall out.
Just don't fall out. Okay, what was that thing called again? The Karma Grip?
Yeah, the GoPro Karma Grip. It's like $300.
GoPro Karma Grip. Okay, Leander, you got something amazing, it sounds like.
Oh, it's totally amazing, yeah. It's a bit specialist.
Yeah, all right.
But it is cool, and it's really expensive. It's called the Icon Bike Light by C-Sense, which is an Irish company, Northern Irish company. And these are connected to, so there's an app that goes with your phone and it connects via Bluetooth so that you can change the patterns of the lights. And
now you're speaking my language right here.
This actually looks awesome.
I love bling lights.
Oh. These are really nice lights, yeah. And you could, they do theft detection. They have accelerometers. The coolest thing is that they have an accelerometer built in. So it knows when you're approaching like a junction or slowing down or if you stop.
Oh, no
and
way.
And it makes the lights speed up. So it freaks out more to get more attention. And it's supposed to be for like when you come to junctions or when you're stopping at a stoplight or going through a roundabout, you know, which they don't have so many of here, but they do in the UK. And then it also does like theft detection. So if you leave them on your bike, it can tell if someone messes your bike and it'll send you an alert via Bluetooth. And what was the other thing it does? Crash as well. Yeah, crash. And so I think this thing actually, I think it thought I had a crash and actually called 911.
Oh.
Not 100% sure. Because my watch, it might have been a glitch of the watch. You know, do you see those reports? The Apple Watch's report is calling 911.
It says if you have it turned on, it can notify your nominated contact of your GPS location in the event of a crash.
Yeah.
It's like, warning. So it was awesome. Andrew Ganey has died.
Yeah, right.
He is currently being run over by a train.
Yeah.
Here is GPS locations.
Yeah. So when they were called, I actually put my wife's number in, not 911. So it definitely wasn't that. It was a pocket dial from the watch. But yeah, they... And, you know, the best thing is like the first I had it on during the day here in California, in the bright sunshine. And this other cyclist said, hey, cool lights, you know, they noticed how bright they were. And that's definitely the best thing for lights like this. You know, you definitely want to be seen.
Thing actually looks pretty freaking cool, Ander.
Yeah,
they're super cool. I really, really pleased with them.
So did they send you this for review?
No, I bought them.
You bought one of these?
Yeah.
So how much was it?
Well, this is the hard part. You better sit down. They're £150, 150 quid, which is about $200.
Dude, they got one on Amazon. Is this the front light or the back light?
Well, I got a set. I got them both.
That's why it was so expensive, because the back one is on Amazon for $120.
Damn. That's still, $120 for a back light is, I have like
a
headlamp from camping that I just wrap around my back seat and use that. Yeah.
Exactly. I know you can get really good lights for like $20, and you know they tend to get stolen or lost.
Yeah.
So you know, like,
but yeah,
it has so that anti-theft thing. So that sounds like an awesome light. I would totally get down on that.
But if it gets stolen, does it tell you its GPS location consistently? Like, does it keep sending it to you?
Or does it just set out a little alert? Like,
yeah, it's like, hey, your bike's gone.
Yeah, see you later. Bye.
I have a new owner now. Right. He treats me much better.
No, I don't think it can track it down. Like, where's my lights? But it's supposed to give you a warning. I haven't actually tested this yet because there's no way I'm leaving my bike out in public. I mean, bike gets locked up at home. And
what do you got, like that really special Pee Wee Herman bike?
Yeah, with the tassels coming off the handlebars. Yeah.
Oh man, I love flashlights. I'm such a flashlight nerd.
That's the thing. Me too. How many times do you go to the hardware store, you know, and they have them there by the cash register, and you know, like I've bought so many of those stupid little lights, and I've bought loads of bike lights. I mean, I have about three or four extra sets at home.
You know, the worst site in the world to be a part of if you actually like flashlights is massdrop.com, because they're always having specials on these really super powerful LED flashlights. Just got one the other day that takes four 18650 batteries and it puts out 4,000 lumens. This thing is like, like you turn it on and like you could see through trees. It's that bright.
Uh-huh.
And you point it at someone like, and then you take it off. Like they're sunburned. That's how bad it is. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I bought this thing and I got it and it's massive. And I was thinking to myself, there's no reason I would ever actually need to use this thing. Like if you go on a walk, you do not take a 3-pound flashlight that's capable of blinding every driver in a 1-mile radius, right? It's like dangerous to use, but I have it and I love it.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It's like that and like little pocket knives. I used to like little pocket knives.
Same here. But, same here.
And I can't resist. I'm like, I've got, you know, I just buy these things like totally on impulse.
It's really weird. I it's such a nerdy thing to want to own, like flashlights. Like, really? Like, why do you want another flashlight? Like, yeah. I don't know. I'm like a moth. I'm drawn to these powerful light sources. I cannot say no to like a 10,000 lumen flashlight. Right. I can't say no.
Yeah. I can see you turn it on and you flit around it.
Yeah, I do.
Flapping your arms.
I keep bumping into it. Alrighty, well, I'll link to all of these cool gadgets in the show notes if you want to check any of them out. But we should go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come tell us about your favorite flashlights, we're on Twitter. I'm at @AerofunBustersBST3R. Leander is L. Caney. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Can I get a yeah, baby, Leander?
Yeah, baby.
Damn, killing it with Austin now.
Yeah, that's real good. If we could meld you and Buster together, we would literally have Austin Powers.
I got the chest pubes for it, so
yeah, I've got the teeth. Right. Yeah. Jeez, are you okay?